Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, this week we are going to talk about the use of technology in psychology, the use of technology in mental health treatment and evaluation and all kinds of stuff.
This takes me a little out of my comfort zone, doesn't it?
I know.
I think you did this on purpose.
Well, all of this is leading up to a great interview that we're planning, that we actually are going to do later today on the day that we're recording these podcasts, with a psychologist from England who has developed an app that looks very, very cool.
Has she just done one so far?
She's done a couple different ones. Yeah, right. And so we're going to talk all about that with her.
She's a psychologist who has really
embraced.
She really has immersed herself
right.
in technology.
Yeah.
The use of technology in mental health, providing
Absolutely.
Mental health services.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So each day this week we're going to talk about different aspects of how. You, listener, may come across
right.
psychological concepts and treatment and evaluation through technology.
Right.
Okay. And today we're gonna start out with teletherapy.
Right.
Because teletherapy is this hugely emerging field.
Right.
And I'm gonna call it a field because it does seem to function differently than face-to-face, in-person mm-hmm. treatment, and right. we have sort of dabbled a little bit into
right.
teletherapy. And so we can talk a little bit about that and how we're using it.
Yeah, it is different. As I was putting this stuff together for this week's podcast, it suddenly occurred to me that we are not taking advantage of this technology
right.
as much as we could.
Right.
On the other hand, we have to be careful because there are some disadvantages,
mm-hmm.
some downsides to the whole technology,
right.
Psychology, marriage.
Right.
And we need to be careful of those. But it was immediately apparent to me, it was increasingly apparent to me, that we're not really taking advantage of these technologies.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to the interview
right.
later. And to talking about these things.
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to teletherapy, you'll hear it in different terms. Teletherapy, telepsychology, telecounseling, telepsychiatry. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different ways in which, or just telemedicine, lots of different ways in which it is labeled. But basically what we're talking about is doing therapy through the internet or through some form of connection, mm-hmm. web-based connection.
Right.
And there's some things that I think many people need to know about it, because we tend to think about it in very simple terms.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You could just FaceTime
right.
someone and, you know, do therapy that way. But it doesn't really work that way.
Right.
And so we'll talk a little bit about that. From our experience, because we've used there's a couple of different programs out there that you can use for teletherapy.
Mm-hmm.
The experiences that I've had with it are good, have been really good,
right.
though somewhat disorienting mm-hmm. at first.
Right.
I think it's safe to say that we have sort of old school training.
Yes.
Our mentors, the people that we learn from, you and I, we're very much so old school psychologists and mental health professionals,
right.
and we learn to look at body language and look at those interactions. And you know, I was telling somebody the other day, and I know that you can relate to this, you know, I was meeting with this youth at a juvenile detention facility, and there's concerns that this youth may be having hallucinations mm-hmm. and schizophrenia. And I found myself having a difficult time explaining it, because I said, you know, when a person has schizophrenia, you can just feel it. You know, there's a
right.
it's almost like an aura that around the person, and you can just tell. And that's part of our training. Well, you don't get that in teletherapy.
That's right. That's right. You don't get all those nuances.
Right.
There's some body language that you miss. When we do teletherapy, and you know, HIPAA is a big issue.
Yes.
You know, confidentiality and privacy and everything, because again, anything on the internet is available to everybody.
Right.
I mean, and we need to remember that. That's
right.
Perhaps the biggest disadvantage. But when I'm interviewing somebody, when I'm talking to somebody over the internet, if I just see the top half of their body, mm-hmm. or from their chest up, which is mm-hmm. typically what a person's mm-hmm. doing if they're sitting at a computer screen, as we are here,
right.
You only see part of their body. There could mm-hmm. be all kinds of things going on that you're
right.
missing.
Okay? Exactly.
And so, for as you said, you and I were trained in a very different way because mm-hmm. we spent most of our time in hospitals and medical
right.
centers, and we were trained by old style clinicians mm-hmm, who looked at patients and did thorough histories.
Right.
And that's more difficult to do when you're doing mm-hmm. this online. So for data, if you're just collecting data, mm-hmm. computers are a very good way to do that.
Right.
But if you want to touch somebody's body, like we talk about tone, you know,
right,
somebody's
right.
muscle tone,
yeah.
or somebody's flaccid or hyperextendable joints, those are easy to spot if you're in the same room.
Right.
They're less obvious when you're doing this via
yeah.
computer.
Yeah, it's amazing how much information you can get by watching someone walk to your office.
Right, that's right.
You
or
know?
Walking down the hall away
yeah.
from your office.
Yeah.
And you can't see that. I was with a little person the other day, and as she was walking away from me, leaving the room, all of a sudden I realized that her legs were slightly different in mm-hmm. diameter. Her calves
right.
were slightly different in diameter. I thought, okay, why don't you come back here and let me... So I had brought her back into the room and did some
yeah.
additional assessments on her
yeah.
and found there were some hemispheric differences. I would never have seen that
right.
Online.
Right. So there's some of those limitations
right.
but based upon the way we've been trained. But that said, you know, teletherapy is really good in those circumstances where... you know, where people just can't get to the office.
That's right.
You know, whether they have, whether it's psychological reasons, like agoraphobia, where the person is just unable to leave their home, or it's something more, you know, just geographic.
I think of Wyoming.
Right.
Montana, the Dakotas, you know, where people live hundreds of miles away,
mm-hmm.
don't have a car.
Right.
You know, the whole southwestern part of the United States,
mm-hmm.
we drove through, take a drive through West Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for people to get, or West Virginia. I worked at the West Virginia University Medical Center. And it's difficult for those people
yeah.
to get from where they are up to Morgantown.
Yeah.
And so there's geographic,
mm-hmm.
there's also weather. You know,
yeah.
what if you live in the Northeast or places where the weather doesn't cooperate as well, Chicago,
right.
for example. If a person is snowed in, how can we do therapy? This would be a good way to do
yeah.
therapy with them.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So there's a few limitations,
right.
Sort of technical and legal.
Legal is,
limitations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first legal limitation really, and I think a lot of people are surprised by this, but it has to do with the types of programs that
right.
you can use
mm-hmm.
to do therapy. You mentioned a moment ago that just about anything that's online is available. Well, you know, we have apps that we can use and programs that we can
mm-hmm.
use to do video conferencing.
Right.
FaceTime, Skype, those
right.
types of things, Google Hangouts and that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. Well, those are great to use for meetings and things like that, but the major problem
right.
is that those formats are not HIPAA compliant.
Which means?
So what happens is, and this is, there's much more technicalities,
mm-hmm.
many more technicalities
right.
than what I am
mm-hmm.
fully understand, but basically, those formats, the people who run Skype and
right.
FaceTime and everything, they don't have anything built into their system that
mm-hmm.
says that immediately after this data is recorded, because you know it all goes through a processor that
mm-hmm.
holds that information and then sends it to the next place, that the information that's held there temporarily is deleted.
Right.
They don't have anything written in that says that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so because
nobody's
of
keeping
that,
it and storing it someplace.
Right.
Right.
So because that doesn't happen, or that isn't explicitly written, then they're not considered to be HIPAA compliant because right. anybody could see or have access to that data.
Because it's out there somewhere.
Right.
And if you're savvy, you can find it.
Right.
And people don't want their therapy sessions right. to be broadcast.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So there, so we have some applications and programs that are HIPAA compliant. Right. We use one called ClockTree.
Right.
This isn't an advertisement for them, but it certainly is an easy medium for mm-hmm. us to use. But it is HIPAA compliant, and it affords the opportunity to have those web-based mm-hmm. meetings, web-based face-to-face, I guess you
yeah.
could say,
yeah.
Sessions with patients that is protected through HIPAA,
right.
and so is you know sort of compliant with what we have as medical standards right now.
Mm-hmm.
The another major issue, and again, this is something that I don't think many people consider, is licensing.
Right.
You know, we're based in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to do therapy with a person who's not in Florida, say a person who's on vacation in New York,
right. That person lives in Florida
mm-hmm.
but is vacationing elsewhere.
Right.
Right.
The issue is, where are you supposed to have the license?
Right.
Do you have
the
license
to practice?
Right.
Right.
Are you supposed to have a license to practice in Florida because that's where you're based?
Mm-hmm.
But the person, the patient, the service received is not in Florida.
Right.
And it's elsewhere.
And this is something that we haven't, that has not been worked out yet.
It hasn't.
Nobody has resolved this issue. Hopefully it won't be settled legally.
Right.
Or with litigation,
right?
You know, and that we'll be able to work it out professionally,
right.
and say, no, if this is your patient and they're on vacation, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we're hoping will happen.
Right.
But we don't know.
Right.
I mean, you're practicing in a state where you're not licensed to practice.
Right. And as of right now, there's not a national license.
No.
So there's no way that you can have a license to practice, you know, wherever you
right.
want across the nation. So there's those limitations, and I've certainly run into that with patients before. That
yeah, I have. Or students
know.
Go off to college,
right?
And if they go off to another state,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've been fortunate because most of my college students are in state, but I have three or four
mm-hmm.
who are out of state, so it's an issue that hasn't been resolved yet.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and there are people on it. There are law
yeah.
firms and psychologists and
task forces, work groups.
Yeah, you know, they're trying to figure all this stuff
out.
But it does introduce some complications.
Yeah, it does.
That's
a serious issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, there's just so many nuances. You know, if you live up in the Northeast or in areas where you can go from state to state very quickly and very easily, you know, you can easily live in Rhode Island and receive a therapy from someone, you know, in a neighboring state.
I grew up on the border between Ohio and Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And we went back and forth.
Right.
Frequently we would get medical services in Ohio
mm-hmm.
rather than Pennsylvania.
Right.
You know,
so will they treat it like that where, you know, you're not, your residence isn't in, you know,
right.
Ohio,
mm-hmm.
but you travel to Ohio for treatment.
Right.
And so the medical mm-hmm. professional has the license in Ohio. But not in Pennsylvania.
But if my Ohio psychologist, if I was in Pennsylvania and my psychologist might be 3 miles away,
mm-hmm.
but you know, it would be closer than somebody in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But he's not licensed in Pennsylvania.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a lot of those types of details that have to
right.
be worked out. So.
That's right. Because when we went to the therapist, it was not an issue.
Right.
But if the patient is able to stay in a different state or vacation in a different
mm-hmm.
state, then it becomes an issue. So
right.
this is a new phenomenon.
Right. And I'm honestly right. kind of surprised that it hasn't been worked out yet.
Yeah, they really
need
to.
I mean, it's been around long enough to where they should have.
Yeah, because
come up
we
with
used to
decisions.
Travel at Christmas time, you know,
mm-hmm.
at holiday time, and my daughter would always get pneumonia when she was a baby. And it was always a problem. My sister was here one time visiting, and she's not allowed to use her insurance anywhere but in her home state
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
of the way their laws are written. And so anytime she gets sick,
mm-hmm.
if it's not pre-approved
yeah.
by her physician in her state, then she has to pay out of pocket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so many complications.
Right, right.
So, and that brings up the final point, and that is insurance.
Yeah.
It's also surprising, I think, that insurance does not consistently cover teletherapy.
Right.
We have found some that do, but
that's
many
right.
don't.
We just learned recently that it will cover in-office therapy, but not teletherapy.
Right.
Same policy doesn't cover teletherapy, and it may be because they're trying to protect themselves legally.
Right.
You know, are we allowed to pay for that? And we don't know yet because of the licensing.
Yeah.
So it's interesting problems to work out.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah.
So, all right. But you know, it is a hopeful practice for the future.
Yeah.
Because I think we're going to continue to move in the direction of looking at. I mean, I know psychiatrists that do not have an office that only do telepsychiatry, and you know they don't take insurance and they only work with people in their state. But it does sort of broaden the net for support because they can they can live in Tampa and treat somebody that lives in Miami because they're still in the same state even though they're hundreds of miles apart.
Right.
But you know it's.
Right. And I think what we're going to find is there are going to be some mental health issues that are easily managed over the internet.
Right.
And there are others that are not so easily managed over the internet. And that's the other thing that may evolve over time.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.